All right. Good morning. Welcome to the Post Sunday podcast.
Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
My
good
name morning. Is Joel. I am joined by some wonderful, wonderful people today.
Wow.
I'm joined by Bethany Lay. Pastor
Randy.
Wilson. And Pastor
David.
Anyway, how's it going, guys? I just really wanted to use that again. Sorry. Hope you guys are having a wonderful morning. So we've got Pastor Randy from Deer Park. We have Pastor Wilson Beaver. So we've got David Wilson and Wilson Beaver. We have a lot of those Wilsons and Andrews on staff. But
I was the first.
You were.
and you won't
be the last, though.
Yeah.
Pastor Wilson Beaver, he preached in Yorktown, and then David Wilson up in Gloucester. Pastor David Wilson, thank you guys for joining us. We also have Maddie in third chair. I don't know. It's like seventh chair or whatever. Observing.
With no mic. Poor Maddie.
Hi, Maddie.
So
you should have a mic.
So this week we started our core series a little bit more in depth, talking about watchfulness. And so you all had the opportunity to kind of talk about the major tenets of the gospel and what that has to do with watchfulness. And then we had the women's conference this past weekend, which was really great. And we'll have an opportunity to talk about that too. But the major theme of that women's conference was lifestyle matters. Mm. So if you guys could, what were your major takeaways for your sermons this past Sunday? So we'll start with you, David, since you already have your phone out.
I have them written down because it's really embarrassing if you can't remember your own takeaways. But guarding the gospel is a matter of life and death, which relates to our understanding of it as a church. I mean, it certainly relates to a church's life and death, but it's a life and death to our friends and family that we want to lead to Christ as well. Mm. Secondly, don't minimize the immensity of the chasm between you and God apart from Christ. Mm. A lot of that came from Isaiah and the idea of how incredibly horrified he was when he got a glimpse of God's holiness. So,
awesome.
And then I challenged people to believe in the gospel if they were there without Christ, and challenged those who were in Christ to share the gospel with somebody. Because it's interesting to me. It's been a year since we did our evangelism series, and we were all pumped, and talking about it. And I noticed the other day, sitting in one of the offices at church in Gloucester, we still have our Reach 3 list in a frame up there, but that just sits there in the corner. I'm about tempted to pull it back out.
Sweet, awesome, Wilson.
Yeah. So I talked about in the beginning. A lot of times as Christians, when we hear that we're going to get a sermon on the gospel, we're like, I can skip this Sunday because we feel like we already know it or have a head knowledge of it. And so I just talked about the difference between cheap grace and costly grace. Mm-hmm. And that's from Bonhoeffer, by the way. I didn't come up with that.
so
and,
smart.
Yeah, I was smart enough to read it. But anyways, talking about how the value of the cross should never diminish. And then from there, I mean, same thing as David Wilson. I talked about one of the misbeliefs that we have is just portraying Jesus as like this lonely shepherd, and I showed a photo to kind of put some illustration to it, but talking about, I used to magnify the holiness of God, I actually used the Revelation 1 scene where Jesus returns, and instead of everybody being like, Daddy, they're like, ha, run for your life. But they're, they feel cut to the core because they have a deep understanding of their inadequacy. And so just going off of that, I talked about how sometimes we misportray sin as just a wrong action, but we are flawed to the core with the depravity of sin. And that's what people are uncomfortable with. And then same thing, I just finished it up with opportunity to accept and having a personal conversation about receiving Christ. And then using the three circles to share the gospel with your community. So that was it.
Awesome.
Good.
Randy.
Yeah. Well, that was great, guys. I should be taking notes here. This is awesome. I was just basically really simple with it. Just went over the core concept of the gospel. It begins with God. He's holy. And just that into how we at some point we made a bad decision in that we basically said, yes, God, bless me, help me, but don't tell me what to do with my life. And that's rebellion. And we've all sinned against God and went into that. And God intervened, sent Christ. And he shed his blood. God became man. And the Creator died for, he was crushed for his creation. What a mind-boggling concept. The heavenly hosts, I'm sure, were flabbergasted. Who would have ever thunk that God would do such a thing? And so talked about what Christ did and shedding his blood for us, resurrection, gave an opportunity to receive Christ. And then throughout also encouraged others to, I think one sign that we're truly born again is that when we receive Christ, we don't stay the same. And that can kind of go, possibly go into your other question about false gospels, our performance, work-based, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But basically just the core aspects of the gospel and gave an opportunity to receive Christ as well. So,
and then Bethany, I'm going to go fix his mic, but can you talk about some of the major things you talked about in Lifestyle Matters in the conference that we had this past weekend for women?
So I appreciated what... I appreciated what Wilson said in his sermon about the cross being magnified as you grow in your spiritual life, because that's kind of what we talked about. We started with the gospel. It all starts with the gospel. You have to make a choice. And speaking of Bonhoeffer, I called my first talk The Cost of Discipleship. It's this thing where we need to consider the cost. It like Randy said, it's not just, oh, I want God to bless me, I want God to love me, and then I'm going to go do my own thing for the rest of my life. You have to consider that there is a cost to this discipleship, and the gospel continues day by day for the rest of your life. And then we transition to, okay, so we've made this choice. Now we need to know God's word. We need to know the truth of God's word, and we talked about how there are so many people now that are false prophets, deceiving, you know, that kind of thing. And then you need to obey what you learn. And we had this equation, and the last part of the equation was time, because in Titus 2, which is what we focused on, Paul tells the older women to teach the younger women. There's this element that comes with just time, just living life and learning life. And as you're living out the gospel every day, it's not just for your own good. It's so that you can then teach others to do the same thing.
I've been reading this book. It's really wonderful. And was talking about how the people of Israel, when they go into the promised land, right? How do they forget the things of the Lord? Like, how is providence and his sovereignty? How did they turn to idols? How did that get there? And it was because the people who were talking about God died off, and no one continued to talk about God's providence, right? And I think it's really important that we do sermons like this, like you guys did this past Sunday, where you talked about the gospel, because if we stop talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's when we start turning to idols. And these false gospels, just like the people of Israel who inherited this promised land and yet stopped attributing the Lord and his providence to why they were there. On that level, what are some of the false gospels? So Wilson, you could start, because you kind of touched on one in your sermon. But what are false gospels that we have turned to within our faith instead of talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, so I made a little bit of a joke out of it, but really is an issue that we deal with. And I think that obviously me working with college students and young adults magnifies this a little bit. But one area where my generation has shifted so much is we've really tried to portray theology as a bad thing, and we've tried to shift Jesus into just this, like, daddy, best friend role. And he is, that is definitely part of the truth, but we're responsible for guarding the entirety of the truth.
Yeah.
And to realize that, to have an understanding of the character of God is a really, really good thing. And that's one thing that one reason why I emphasize this so deeply is because I spent my whole summer studying the book of Jeremiah.
Oh, wow.
And, And that's just a really complex book when it comes to the character of God, because one chapter he's like, I love you, I took you by the hand and I led you out of Israel, and I care for you so much. And then literally like two chapters later, he's like, you will feel the full strength of my wrath. And I'm like, how do we balance a God's character in this way? And the truth is to realize that God is loving. He does want us to just have a full heart following after him. But that's one of the reasons why I love that what we talked about in the sermon plan was to emphasize God's holiness, because he is a holy God. He is offended by our sin, and it's not something that he takes lightly. And so for us to realize that that God is a holy God, that Jesus, when he returns, will not be this, you know, buck 25, brown hair, bearded guy, you know, is something that we truly have to understand, because it really does shift how we, it shifts the entirety of the gospel. Like I was talking about it, if I realize I offended a holy God, it makes my sin that much greater. If I realize that only a holy God can save me, it makes my salvation that much greater. If I realize that a holy God chose to save me, it makes the love that much greater. Yeah. And so that's just what I was trying to emphasize.
Amen. He's not the Pantene Pro-V model, you know?
Yeah, yeah. He's not the Head and Shoulders shampoo model. That's right.
Gosh, man, I've been doing a lot of work cleaning out stuff at Deer Park, and all the little like pictures I keep finding as I'm cleaning things out of Jesus, like beautiful silky hair, perfect beard, holding a little lamb. And I'm like, what is this? Stop it.
It was big. It's still big. And yeah.
All right, Randy, what about you? What's a false gospel that you've seen in your lifetime in ministry?
Yeah, I alluded to it earlier, but you know, basically the work salvation, our good works can never erase our bad sin, and it's just something that people throughout the world and all cultures actually believe. If I do a good person, I do a lot of good works, I didn't kill anybody. My sins are minimal, and I've done so much good, I'll be all right. Well, that's a deception and a lie. And I think that's very common throughout the world. And it's, but anyhow, I've touched on that several times.
That's a big one.
What about you, sir?
I talked about that, of course, too. That's kind of such a common one. We were talking beforehand about what are some that have come and gone. And I don't know that any have come and gone. They're kind of all just repackaged. It's all the same.
That's a good point.
The same thing. But when it comes to work salvation, you got to be honest enough to ask, so how good is good enough? At what point does somebody say, you know, because that's all wrapped up with the, you know, as long as you're sincere, you know, I mean, the people who ran into our towers on 9/11 were really sincere. So at what point in time does, well, he's not good enough? At what percentage, you know, does God grade on a curve? You know, all those questions come into play with that thing, which I think are fair. That's, to me, part of good evangelism is asking good questions, you know. And if somebody says, well, I just, you know, I've tried harder, I think I'm good enough, well, then, okay, well, how good is good enough anyway? I mean, what happens if I'm at like 85%? Is that still okay? Which, of course, then we go to Romans 3 and so on and talk about the fact nobody's perfect. Nobody does good enough. Another one, the health and wealth gospel. We've talked about that before. You know, God wants you happy. He wants you healthy. He wants you to have money. He, you know, if you just have enough faith, you know. And I got to admit, I have a hard time understanding how that has so much traction. I mean, I get why it's attractive, but I don't get why it stays attractive, because I don't see it anywhere in the world. I mean, there are so many people in the world that are poor and, you know, suffering. And yet love Jesus. So, I mean, it just makes, anyway.
I mean, there's some churches, I was actually reading a story about a church in Australia that's grown exponentially because of, that's been their model.
Right.
And it's been accompanied with certain types of music, certain types of showmanship on their Sundays, and the gifts, the certain gifts that they put with it. And yeah, in certain countries, those blow up. And I mean, it just like wildfire. It's crazy how fast those can go. Like this church is now getting close to, it's on track to dwarf Hillsong, which, if you know, Hillsong is one of the biggest churches in Australia, if not the biggest church and one of the biggest churches in the world. And this church is on track to dwarf them if it continues in this track. And they're doing health and wealth. the whole
right.
time.
Right.
And they're planting all over the... Yeah, so...
And the big hang-up... I mean, obviously, my big hang-up is theological, but one of my hang-ups is the hopelessness that's there. I mean, the gospel's full of hope. The health and wealth gospel, if you're not healthy or wealthy or whatever it is they're promising you, then all you have is frustration. What did I do wrong? Why yeah. didn't God love me that much? Yeah. I thought I had faith. Yeah. I must be a horrible person. And I've talked to people even in Coastal that have struggled with that. You know, and it's always the people who really continue to promote that are the ones who happen to be wealthy and have a handsome husband or wife or, you know, a good looking wife. Or, you know, they're the ones that seem to have all of that stuff right now.
No.
It's crazy. Another one I talked about that I struggle a little bit with, and I told people, don't rate your comment cards yet, but I said, one of the false gospels is God loves everybody and doesn't like it when you do wrong. And both of those statements are true, but that to me is a moralism that's not at the heart, at the yeah. root of the gospel. The gospel isn't just about me doing better than what I've done. And yes, God loves everybody, but like Wilson was saying, that's only part of who God is. Yes, he loved me enough that he sent Christ to take the wrath that belonged to me. Yeah. And, you know, so when I even if I'm giving accurate pieces of the gospel, if I'm not giving the whole gospel, I'm still kind of watering it down.
No. So it's good. What about you, Bethany? Do you have anything to add, or were you going to say something? I was going to ask you another question, but if you have something to say, say.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, I think one of the things that I have struggled with and that I see a lot of women struggling with is a perspective of the gospel. I don't know that it's just confined to women, but that's where I work. And that is that the gospel is all about me. And, you know, there's a song, an old school song, and I love it. David Meese, We Are the Reason. And, you know, when you focus on we are the reason that he gave his life. No, not really. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we are. It's one of those balance things like Wilson was saying. It's like, well, yeah, we are, but no, we aren't. You know, this isn't all about you. And I think the one huge damage that the feminist movement did in our country was have women be obsessed with who they are. And so initially the feminist movement was incredible because women were not, they were being treated substandard, but that doesn't mean that you need to focus then everything on you. And it just went off the charts in a bad direction. And I think that we've poured that over to the gospel that, oh, the gospel is all about me. It's all about God loving me. It's all about God saving me. And so then when you start living out the gospel, like Wilson was talking about, your whole Christian life is all about you, your comfort and your well being.
Because then you have to grapple with questions like, does God? So we sang this song this past Sunday. Our God delights to hear our prayers. Does he delight to hear the prayers of a sinner? Does he listen to the prayers of a sinner? And you know he doesn't. And these are questions. But if you're like, the gospel is all about me, everything's about me, you think God is, like you said, like Wilson saying, just up in heaven going, I just love this person so much. And I'm so affectionate for them.
Oh, and I hope they'll pick me.
Right. Yeah. I'm just waiting. Like we talked about that. So our worship ministry will meet every other month and we'll go through a book. And one of this chapter was on was the Holy Spirit and how we've had bad perspectives on the Holy Spirit in the past where we've treated him like this. He's waiting outside our doors and we're saying, you can come in now. But then, you know, that's more of the charismatic movement. But in the Reformation movement and more Reformed camps, we have no idea what to do with the Holy Spirit. And so we don't let the Holy Spirit do what his job is. And it's to point us to Christ and make us more aware of Christ. And so we either go, let's invite the Holy Spirit, work and move in this presence. Let's feel you.
Yeah.
Or we say, what do you do again? And
kind of,
and so, and so there's elements in every aspect. It's the same thing with the gospel. I think you guys touched on it great. I love your fervor for the holiness of the Lord, because I think we've lost that in our culture. We don't see God as holy. We see him as helpful. And that's kind of what we just see the Lord as.
And it's important too, because I took a couple minutes to make a thing out of this, because it's not that God measures up to some innate standard of holiness and God meets that. God is the definition of holiness, and he's the one we're measuring up to. Yeah. It's not like God is really great and awesome and incredible. God is holy. He defines
right.
what it
almost
is.
Almost like he's heaping up his own good works to measure up for us. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So there's nothing outside of God that determines how holy he is. He defines what holy is.
Amen. Yeah.
That's right.
What about this? Who in your life really helped you see God's holiness? I mean, because obviously Scripture is going, the Holy Spirit's going to illuminate Scripture to us to see. But all of us have been in. For this was part of Lifestyle Matters mentorship, right? It's Titus too. You guys had this wonderful panel at the women's conference. I keep saying guys. You ladies had this wonderful panel at the women's conference. Well, it's 2019, but I know I need
you
proper pronouns. And at the women's conference, you got ladies had. This wonderful kind of legacy, right? You had someone who had mentored and discipled you. You had a couple other women and their mentors, and that was really cool. And you had both parties speak too. It was the mentor and the mentoree. Who in your life though helped you really see the holiness of God in a way you hadn't seen it before? Anyone can start. A lot of heavy breathing. Okay, guys, relax.
That's what I'm trying to move away from.
Wilson's the only one off the mic. Everyone else is going.
There's a lot of congestion going around.
I don't know.
Right now.
I don't know if I can point to any one person that, or even group of people. I think the holiness of God is something that you just. It takes a regular routine digestion of the scriptures to get a glimpse of who God is. I think the holiness of God isn't a light that comes on at some point, I don't think. I think we're constantly recognizing how, because the holiness of God is, of course, his hatred for sin, but it's right, just his separateness from who we are, too. So there's, you know, my thoughts aren't your thoughts, and, you know, your ways aren't my ways kind of attitude that we have to just, I think it just develops over the course of time. I've got this growing awareness that I am, you know, I think it was Stephen Curtis Chapman used to do a song, God is God and I am not. I'm like, I really like that song. That's, you know, because back to what Bethany was saying, we have this tendency to think, man, God is really, really happy that I'm a Christian. And that's, yeah. I mean, he is, but it wasn't his primary focus in life, was not to get me there. It was his grace that gave me the opportunity to be as close to him as I am. And I don't know. So I don't know if there's any one person to answer your specific question.
It's fun. I was literally going to say the same thing. I don't think in any discipleship relationship we've necessarily focused on the holiness of God, but to take time to really study through the scripture. And when I say study through the scripture, I don't mean like use the Bible app for your verse of the day. I mean to actually like open up God's word, make the time for yourself to have the opportunity to get to read through a whole chapter that maybe might seem a little bit overwhelming, that maybe might seem a little bit intimidating, but to read through a whole book of the Bible where you do have to wrestle with God's character, and you do have to see that he is a holy and loving God. Those were the moments for me that I really was like, wow, God's holiness is really beyond my grasp and understanding.
And so
I totally agree with David. To really have some sort of a handle is to open up the word for yourself. But then if you truly do get stuck, yes, please have a conversation. Don't just go Googling, because that can lead to bad information as well. But have a conversation with either your small group leader, your pastor, whoever it is, because that can help in times where you do get a little bit confused and trying to understand God's character. But yeah, opening God's word is one of the most powerful ways.
I would agree with everything that they said, but there was a defining moment for me, I think, when...
So you guys are wrong.
The light bulb... No, you're not like wrong. But for me, there was a time where... there was a focused part of my life where we were really focusing on the holiness of God. In college, there was my college director, who his wife was the mentor who I brought here. And they, as a couple, mentored me. But they were the college directors, and we had a peer-led college group where we called it Holy Sweat. And we actually went through the book, The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges.
Nice.
And we spent that like whole semester just talking about what is the holiness of God? What does it mean? What does it look like? And we really dug down into it. Now, the person who led that particular Bible study was a very, very good friend of mine, and he was he could tell you everything about the holiness of God. He was very eloquent. He was very poignant with his illustrations. It was amazing. But now he considers himself an agnostic.
Mm. Oh my goodness.
And so, you know, you can have all this head knowledge of the holiness of God.
Yeah.
That was a defining moment for me in one way, where then I, like you guys, I got into scripture. I learned about Christ. You know, I watched people around me, and I grew in holiness.
Yeah.
But that was defining time in his life.
Thanks.
But then he pursued other avenues of searching. Google wasn't back then, but similar to Googling.
Dictionary. You
know, he went to
encyclopedias.
Yeah.
He went to a secular college that totally just deconstructed his whole belief system.
Yeah.
And not that all secular colleges will, and I'm not going to throw this one under the bus, but they sought out to deconstruct his theology.
Yeah.
And and so there has to be a whole lot more than just knowing the holiness of God too. There has to be a part of witnessing the holiness of God in other people and living it out in your own life.
Yeah. Randy, do you have anything
that kind of brings something to my mind? I couldn't think of one person to answer your question who showed me or demonstrated the holiness of God for me, but one thing that did come to my mind is this. And the handful of people that have discipled me that God really used in my life, I found sin in their lives, and it drove me to Christ.
Mm.
And it was like, they're not perfect.
Yeah.
And the only one who is perfect is Jesus, is the Lord himself.
Amen.
So God used them in my life, and I'm certainly not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but that God used them in a powerful way. But then I found a chink in their armor. And at first I was kind of shocked, but it helped me realize you got to run to Christ. Keep running to Christ.
Amen. Yeah. When I asked that question, I think of when I was going through a discipleship period with Joey back when I was in college. And that was super helpful for me because the way that he approached the holiness of the Lord influenced me greatly to see it more clearly, right? So that's that. And when I was asking that question, in my mind, you know, you like you were saying, you saw someone so fervent for the gospel and the holiness of the Lord that you go, okay, I need to spend more time in this. Kind of like you were saying, Bethany. Mm-hmm. Even if that person then goes away, I want to investigate this more. Mm-hmm. And so it's same. I think what you guys touch on is perfect. You know, these discipleship relationships should drive us to Scripture, right?
Amen.
Should push us to diving deeper into Scripture to then have a greater understanding of who the Lord is and His holiness. What about something? What's something you wish you could have touched on more in your sermon?
All of it. I was joking with Bree. Every point was like its own sermon. I don't know if you guys felt that while you were writing.
Yeah.
But I was like, we could talk about this, and then I was like, there's no time. Like, we have to move on. Definitely all of it, for sure.
You brought up the whiteboard. That was great.
Yes.
Such a professor. I love it.
Oh, you know.
Anyone else? Something they wish you could have touched on more?
I did want to touch on more is I've been studying the writings of this guy named Athanasius, and he's one of like the church fathers who is like responsible for the reason why we have the 66 books of the Bible and why we have such a good definition of who Jesus is. And he just has all these beautiful metaphors for why Jesus is the only person who could redeem creation. And I think a lot of times, like David mentioned as a joke, is like, we think that there are all these different ways that we can choose to be redeemed. And obviously all the other ways are a false gospel. And one illustration that Athanasius uses that I thought was so beautiful, and there was just no time to bring it up. But he talks about how like the reason why Jesus is the only way that we can be saved is because he has these three stages. He has creation, which is the Genesis story. He has decreation, which is the entirety of the Old Testament. And then he has what he calls recreation, which is after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And he uses this amazing metaphor of a dam. And he talks about how creation and God is the original source flowing into all the rest of creation. And Jesus is the dam through which the original water source is appropriated into.
Hmm.
And so as the Word creates So God commands it, but the word creates the heavens and the earth and everything that we come to see and know. The issue is that man then breaks the gate that allows the original water source. And we think that we've done a good thing in breaking the gate. But the issue is that the original water source isn't affected by the brokenness of the gate.
Right.
It's the appropriated sources that are now drying up. And how mankind, its brokenness, doesn't even realize that we're coming to a point of depletion. And so the original water source can't fix the broken gate because it's separated, and in this case, separated by holiness. So because Jesus is the dam that's allowing the flow of the original creation to the appropriated sources, Jesus is the only way that the gate can be fixed and allow recreation to then flow into what was originally designed by God. And I thought that was just like such a beautiful metaphor. I think all of us probably had different things that we wrestled with like, oh, I just can't put this in there. But I was totally like, I'm going to share that in the podcast. I just think that's such a beautiful example. It's so amazing.
You just taught everyone about how dams work just now too.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, wait, what?
Well, my last name is Beaver, so I should under. No, yeah.
I like it.
There you go. But yeah, that's one thing I would have loved to have spent more time on, why Jesus is the only thing that could have brought about recreation.
Amen. Anyone want to follow that up?
No, I don't even read Athanasius. How am I going to come up with something that good? I don't.
Anything for you, Randy? Something that you wish you could have spent a little bit more time?
No, it's just, but you just can't do it justice. When you look at who God is and what Jesus did,
and
it's just like in 35 minutes, you just can't do it the justice. It's
unless you're Joey who preaches for 50 minutes. But
there's something I didn't talk about that I wished I'd had time to talk about. And I think that's more of how the gospel, and I think it's on doc maybe for this week, so probably that's okay, how the gospel continues to transform us. Because that Jabez testimony in the intro to the message talked about internalizing the gospel and making it part of our everyday life, which is that on? Because I'm not preaching this coming Sunday. Is that on for this week?
Who's watchfulness.
Is Jeba on?
The next part.
She was this past week.
Oh.
You're working this out next yourself. Week
no, I mean, who's? I don't know who's preaching. Kimberly, anyway, because there is, that, I think that's part of why we've lost a little bit of the sense of our awareness of who God is, because we kind of compartmentalize the gospel for that's what happens when I start my journey in faith. And then from then on, I'm just learning other stuff and I'm growing. But the gospel has this continually transformative effect on my life. And so it affects my marriage and it affects my work relationships and, you know, other relationships I have. And it affects how I behave myself. And so when I'm tolerating sin or some pattern of thought in my mind that displeases God, it's the gospel that affects that, because the gospel takes me back to the holiness of God and what cost there was to do that. So when I'm tolerating something in my life I shouldn't, I'm really choosing at that moment not to believe the gospel again. And it's not that I have lost my salvation. It's simply that I have forgotten something that is so central to me. And so I wish I'd had more time, I guess, to go after that. But that really wasn't the main point of the message. But I do think it's really significant.
Awesome. So let's move on to our book resource. Does anyone... We have a couple book resources. Bethany, did you want to start with yours?
Sure. So this past weekend at our retreat, we used the book Adorned. It doesn't focus specifically on the gospel, but... it focuses on Titus 2 and how Paul has called the older women to teach the younger women basically how to live the gospel. And so that's where our Lifestyle Matters Living the Gospel name came for the retreat. And so just a shameless plug here is that we have started a podcast by women for women. And what we're going to be doing for the first 2 months of that podcast.
Tuesdays at 8 a.m.
What we're going to be doing for the first 2 months of that podcast is we're actually going to be going through the book Adorned together.
Nice.
So so if you've got that resource and you would like to go through it with us, that's what we're going to be doing October, November.
Awesome. Wonderful. And then, Wilson, you had a book resource.
Yeah, the first one would be What is the Gospel? It's a small, quick read. You could literally read it in an hour. It's by Greg Gilbert. That's the first one. The second one is the implication of the gospel, and it's called Turning Everyday Conversations into Gospel Conversations by Dr. Scroggins, and that is also a very small book.
So. Is your head itching? You've just been doing a lot of rubbing.
It is, yeah.
You've been like rubbing your forehead this whole time.
Yeah.
Every time you talk, like, I don't know if... Do you smoke?
The calming method?
Like, are we rubbing essential oils on your forehead right now?
Yeah.
It's lavender. It's lavender.
I like it.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We're really excited for this. This is, okay, there's an ad on this iPad, and it says Core, and I'm just like, oh, no, the government's listening. Because I said Core, listening. And there it is. This Core series, it's just really wonderful that we're getting to start this. And watchfulness, it's just a fantastic thing to think about, you know, guarding your heart against the world and guarding the gospel in your heart. You know, just like we talked about with the Israelites who stopped talking about the providence and the sovereignty of God, forgot that, and then were so quick to turn to idols. And so just encouraging you guys to be in your word, start your days with the word, end your days with the word, you know, not your phone. And just be a part of a community. We're really excited to continue this. Small groups, thanks for listening. And more people listen to this podcast than we actually think, so that's really cool. So if you guys ever have any questions, just submit them to...
sermonquestions@gocoastal.org.
I just love that. Just love it so much. All right, guys, you have a wonderful week. See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to the Post Sunday podcast. If you'd like to join us at Coastal Community Church, we'd love to see you in service this week at our Yorktown, Gloucester, or Deer Park campus. If you have questions about how to get connected, visit our website at gocoastal.org, where you'll also find information about service times or ways to serve. Have a blessed rest of your week.